of the king. I would dance, I would sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud. Lift my voice and shout.
If you're not enjoying yourself at church, I just think that there's something gone haywire. Hallelujah. It's my favorite place to be. Amen. Favorite place to be, people to be with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. Last week we started a series, and part of this, the main part of this series is in the area of covenant relationships. I don't know how long this is going to go on. I don't think it's going to be one of those year-long series. I feel like it's just one of those areas that we need to just freshen up on it and just kind of Holy Spirit give us a few more angles to look at in it. There's nothing about this that I'm teaching to try to get some kind of point across, you know. I remember when I did it for a year, there was some rumblings going on during that time, I prayed about it, and the Holy Spirit said, it's because many have never heard covenant teaching before, and so they don't understand it. You need to teach on it. And I said, okay. And he said, teach on it until I tell you to stop. And so he kept giving me stuff. I kept teaching on it. 52 weeks later, he moved me on to something else. So that's kind of really, I mean, that was, it really, I did not preach it because of anything. I preach it because the Holy Spirit said, it just needs to be taught. You need to teach what you have inside of you. So that's the way I look at it with anything, is that the Holy Spirit tells me the time. He tells me when to do it. Sometimes he tells me to do something, teach something. And it's more of a revelation of saying you know, maybe you're not there, the church, you know, whatever. Sometimes I've seen him do that. But usually it's just something where he wants to stir it up in us and get us ready and get us, because where we're going, covenant relationship is going to be essential and very important. So that's why we're on this area. Matter of fact, we talked a little bit about it last week, that how I knew I was going to. Matter of fact, I have a sermon that I haven't written out. I'm excited about it. It'll be in this series, but I haven't even taught it yet. And it was the one that I had written out about a month or two ago, excited about teaching it and just have not had the opportunity. It should be in this series because it's kind of good and it's really a really exciting part of it. But he hooked me up to this area, started teaching me in an area that we talked about last week. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you, excellence. He started talking to me about it, and then he said, you would understand that that excellence is really a covenant issue. The more he taught me on it, the more I started seeing it, the more I started studying, and even this week as I've been praying about it, I've seen it more and more and more how much this is a covenant issue. And so we're going to look into it a little bit more. Matter of fact, God added more to this message to where I couldn't even get to the part that I was studying about a week ago. I had all these things that I was going to give you, and then I haven't even put those in my notes yet because he kept adding to it. So we're going to get here, get some fresh stuff. But in Ephesians chapter 2, this is our springboard verse when we talk about covenant relationships. It says in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember," keep this in your mind, "that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which was called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Now again, he's talking in the past tense. So they used to be the ones that were circumcised and called uncircumcised because of the cut that was on their life, and they were circumcised in the flesh made by hands. They called us uncircumcised, but now we are all drawn. We were separated because we weren't circumcised. The sign and the blood of the covenant at that time was not over us. Verse 12, "that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, things have changed now. Now, because of what Jesus did, things have changed. Now, we're not the uncircumcised, we're the circumcised. We just may not be circumcised in the flesh. Now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes afar off are made nigh. Come nigh, my beloved, by the blood covenant of Jesus. What Jesus did on that cross blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us and brought us nigh into His blessings, brought us nigh into the commonwealth of Israel, brought us nigh into the covenants of promise, and brought us nigh into all the good that Jesus had for us and developed for us. And so it's really important that we understand these things based on not our concept of contractual agreements. Contractual agreements, we talked about that, agreements are signed and written, but covenants are cut in the blood. That's why so much of what Jesus went through had to do with blood, had to do with the thorns in His skull and the sword in His side and the nails in His hands and His feet and the whip that tore His skin, because the blood and that was shed was a sealing of the covenant once for all mankind. And so we have to understand covenant relationships. And again, I think you can go one of two ways. Because there are many who, once they start writing and reading and about covenant relationships, they look in one direction, and that's vertically. They look at our covenant between God, and they'll talk about how this covenant between God is important. That you need to understand the covenant, you need to have that covenant, you need to walk in that covenant, and then that's it. But by doing that, you are missing a very important part of God. And that's His body. And so if we are not watchful and careful with the covenants with one another in the horizontal, we will never have the kind of covenant with God that we think we need to have. That we know we need to have. We'll never have that. Ministers who don't have a home church, don't have a pastor that they're under, don't have someone that they're under, are in a dangerous place. Because they need to be under. They cannot just go, it's me than God. Because that's a dangerous place to be. You have to have the covenants horizontally so that the covenant vertically works. And so that's why we spend so much time dealing with the covenant between man. Because again, I was reading it this week, and I don't think I have it in my notes, but our covenant with God can be easier because God's perfect. Covenant with one another can be less easy because, well, we mess up. I was talking to a friend of ours, and they're talking about how their dad is a pilot. I'll tell you, it's Ryan's girlfriend Amelia. Her dad's a pilot, and she said my mom doesn't like flying with him. He flies commercial. He's flown Army. He's flown every kind of aircraft. He's licensed to fly any aircraft. He flies, he's flown over in wars. He flies the medical planes and helicopters and all that kind of stuff. He's an amazing pilot. And his wife won't fly with him. And we were talking to her about it, and I started thinking, I was like, well, you know what? And I just mentioned it to her. I said, it's because she knows he's not perfect. She's been way too close to him, and she knows that he's made some mistakes in life. He's made some mistakes, and just knowing that, having that knowledge, goes, no, I've been around when you made some mistakes, and I don't want to. And that's kind of how we get with one another, is that it can be hard for us to trust one another and to yield to one another because we've seen each other make mistakes. Everybody's going, no, no. I've never seen that. But that's why God, that's why, I mean, the Word of God tells us a lot about it. And that's why He has me speak on it so much, is because, listen, we are all working at becoming better, and we better be stronger, more covenant minded. But in that meantime, we're human. And a lot of times we go right back to, some of you go, have you ever got caught on a video thread on Facebook? You watch a video and then it goes kind of like, hey, if you like that one, you might like this one. And you watch that one, and you watch the next one, and you watch the next one. And, you know, 3 hours later, you're caught, you know, watching the 50th video. This last week, I got caught watching a couple episodes of Kitchen Nightmare. Anybody ever watch that with Gordon Ramsay, where he goes into a failing restaurant, and they have their, why is it failing? And it's usually because the food's gross and undercooked and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, and so I got kind of caught in that. I'm trying to think of why I got going on this. We were talking about we're not perfect, right? And that's just really, you need to be reminded from time, because these guys would go there and they just get so, that was it. They just got so caught in their complacency of doing the same thing and fixing the same food and hurrying it and trying to get it out there for the customers. And what's the easiest way to do this? Well, let's prepare all of our fish on Monday and it'll be the fish for the rest of the week. And then they can't figure out why the fish is bad by the end of the week and people aren't sending it back. But they get very complacent with it. They get lazy with it, and they watch as usually most all of these places are used to be booming restaurants that have decreased and decreased and decreased and decreased just simply because they got lazy and stuff. And I think that really kind of tells us, I don't think anybody is just up late at night planning on ways to break covenant. You know, a husband is plotting ways to cheat on his wife. It just happens. They get lazy. They start maybe not giving the attention this way and start getting or giving attention the other way, and it's all of a sudden it happens. And I think that's really where what happens when, especially if you don't hear covenant teaching, if there's a span. And again, I told you it's been about a year and a half since I've taught on it. So it can really start going into that area where it's not that we just let some things slip. And that's the effectiveness of teaching on this and spending a few weeks on this. Now, we understand that the area of covenant relationships, our definition, is an intimate, intricate, and binding relationship between two or more people that unites their strengths in order to eliminate their weaknesses. In other words, the purpose of covenant relationship isn't to give you more rules in life. The purpose of covenant relationships is to make you better, make you stronger, make you more effective in the kingdom of God, make you more effective in life. If one can put 1,000 to flight. Now, how many know that if you're a person, if you're one person and you can put 1,000 to flight, you're pretty effective? I would think it pretty effective. But two can put 10,000 to flight. So it's telling us that no matter how effective you may be in life, the more you connect to others, and the right others, really, iron sharpens iron, the more you connect to others, the more effective you'll be, the stronger you'll be in your life. And so it is an intimate, intricate, and binding relationship between two or more people. It unites our strengths to make us stronger, to eliminate our weaknesses. Now, last week, we kind of wrapped things up by using illustration, and it really stems from the literal definition of covenant in Scripture. And the definition of covenant when you're in Scripture is simply means to cut. In other words, it's to cut the covenant. It's the blood. So I know some people are like, well, then why do you add all those extra words? Because that gives us a full picture of what God's talking about. Because in our Western minds, we don't understand covenant relationship. It doesn't make sense to us. Literally, the only relationship that we have in this Western culture that even comes close, and I say comes close, it is covenant relationship that we understand is marriage. But we don't use it outside of that, outside of the marriage. And even now, the marriage relationship is just kind of is more fleshly, involved in the fleshly and the soulless areas. And covenant relationship is controlled by the Spirit. It's a whole lot deeper, a whole lot stronger, and it's a whole lot more intense than just this fleeting thing that says, the second I'm unhappy, I'm out of here. And so when we understand, and again, we are refined, aren't we? We're not going to cut ourselves and bleed, right? Because we're too distinguished for that. I remember the story of Stanley and Livingston when, I believe, was it Stanley that went over to look for Livingston, or Livingston went over to Stanley? I remember when he went over there and he began looking, and the translator kept saying, if you'll make a covenant, if you'll cut a covenant with them. Well, what does that entail? It entails blood, and it entails cutting yourself, and he's like, I ain't doing that. Because he was a born-again Christian. And he wasn't going to do any of that with any man. Right? But when he began understanding, that's what the Bible is talking about in the covenant relationships and what it opens up to God, he began understanding that this is what God's talking about when he talks about covenant. This is what he's talking about. And so he went ahead and did it because he had to, even way back then, he had to get his head around the concept that cutting covenant was a legit thing to do. So in definition, just simplicity, covenant means to cut. And one of the best illustrations I heard of that I shared with you last week was the area of a diamond. That a diamond's value and brilliance, it has the four C's, but the most important to its value and its brilliance and its shine is the cut. If the cut's wrong, if the cut's off, if the cut's not there, diamonds really aren't that impressive. They don't shine nearly like you think they shine if the cut's not there. But when the cut, on a small diamond, there can be upwards to 50 some odd cuts in a single diamond. I mean, have you ever taken a piece of paper and started ripping it in half? And you rip it in half one way. You take the next, rip it in half the other way. You rip it in half. I would challenge you that on a regular 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, that by the time you got to 58 rips in half, I'm not talking about both sides, I'm just talking about, you know, you rip it half that side, rip that half that side, rip that one in half, and you just keep working on that one. By the time you got to 58 rips, I bet you couldn't get to 58 rips. Because it would be so insignificant at that time. And that's the kind of detail that's in a diamond that gives it its sparkle, gives it its value, gives it its brilliance. Well, God says that we sharpen one another. Iron sharpens iron. And so in covenant relationships, it's the detailed cuts. It's the detailed chisels on our lives that we keep. I don't think that's that important. In covenant, it's very important. Because it's the details, it's the small, in seemingly insignificant cuts that are going to bring value to you, to that relationship, and to what you're doing. And often, because it seems, we can do without one cut, can't we? One cut's not going to make a big difference. That one cut can be enough to keep your value low and keep you from realizing the full value of God on your life, on your ministry, and on your friendship. There are marriages that break apart because of one cut. I'm not picking on anybody's marriages, okay? Any failed or any living marriages. It's what we understand. Matter of fact, if you've been through a marriage that has broken up, you probably understand exactly going, yeah, that was a big cut, but yeah, that was a cut that was missing there. Because you'd agree that, but see, a lot of marriages mess up because of one single cut that got away, that wasn't there. It may be a cut of unfaithfulness. It may be a cut of lack of integrity. It may be a cut of not loving the way. You know what I'm saying? Just one little cut can start messing with things and take the joy, take the pleasantness, take the excitement out of something that God placed in your life for increase. Amen. And that's why we spend time. That's why I think the Holy Spirit keeps giving us these things that these areas that to these what we call intimate, not intimate, we call intricate areas that we have got to continue working through and continue watching over. And again, last Saturday morning, we had a lazy Saturday, which we don't always get. Especially, you know, when we're inside basketball season, we're outside of basketball season that right now. So we sometimes get more of them than we used to. We usually do. But even then, we don't know family stuff, what's going on. But we had a lazy day. And so we were just sitting around. And again, one of the things I love doing, I love having a pad of paper or a clipboard sitting next to me and just listen to the Holy Spirit. If something kind of strikes me, an area strikes me, I'll start looking it up on my phone or my iPad, and I'll start taking notes, and I'll write scriptures down. And I was walking around the house that morning. I made dinner, I made breakfast, and I was doing some laundry, things in that order. And I just asked the Lord, Lord, I want to step into something tomorrow. I want to preach something that isn't just a good idea. I've got sermons. I've got a lot of sermons, but I want something that is specifically from you for us. I wanted it to be the word that he had for us. And as I sat there and I prayed in the Spirit, all of a sudden it rose up inside of me, excellence. Excellence. And I knew because it came out of nowhere. I didn't know. I didn't have the TV on. Didn't have anything like that. It was just me there, quiet. Jessica was in the room snoring. It was just quiet in there. And when it rose up in me, excellence, the ministry of excellence. I knew it was God. So I began just. I took my phone out. You just Googled some stuff, looked scriptures up, started writing things down, found some articles regarding excellence and stuff like that. But I knew it was from God, and I began to study on that. And the more that I listened to it, I got done. I was sitting there, and I had a bunch of notes. I haven't thrown away anything yet, so I've got stuff folded up, clipped together. I've got new papers that I got this week in studying and in prayer. And so I got all these papers clipped together, and I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, and he goes, do you understand that excellence is one of the most important parts of covenant relationship? I was like, oh, tell me more. And he said, more covenant relationships are destroyed for lack of excellence than pretty much anything else. Now again, I know people say, well, hold on, faithfulness. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying here. And as we get through this, you'll begin understanding it. Lack of excellence in a covenant relationship breaks apart more relationships and covenant partnerships than anything. Let's go. I know that we deal with this in the area of partnership, but it works in the area of covenant. If Doc and I, we've often talked about our business that we have together, the business where he's the financier, he takes care of the finances, and I'm the day-to-day operations where I run the place, and he always makes sure that the financial area, he's focused on the financial and making sure that we're making money and all that kind of stuff. And I'm taking care of the day-to-day. I'm taking care, let's say it's a t-shirt thing, right? And we're making t-shirts and we're designing t-shirts and we're putting out t-shirts. Let's say for 2 or 3 years, our business is booming. And Doc's coming in and he's just having a blast watching the money because he's seeing the money grow and he's actually getting a return on his investment in that area. We've been able to hire people to help us in the business, things like that. Are you following me on this? And so he's enjoying it. He's going that. Well, somewhere along the line, let's say, I'll use me because I don't want to pick on Doc or anything. But let's say I decide, you know what? I think I could get myself a raise if we made more money. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to do more t-shirts per hour and really do it quick. Instead of taking my time to make sure each one is done right, I'm going to try to do as quick as I can, and I'm going to try to up it so that when, you know, big orders come in, we get the ink on there and push it through as fast as we can, and we just do more, okay? And so I figure out that if I just take t-shirts, flip it once, throw it on the thing, throw it down there, scribble it as quick as I can, pop it up and throw it over there, and I just keep doing that, it gets on there. But when I throw it over there, sometimes they fold on top so there's ink on the sleeve, and sometimes it's smudged and all that kind of stuff. And then I put it on for the next color, and I put the next screen on for the next color, and I'm so quick that it's not centered, it's not quite, so part of the other thing is covered up. And so meanwhile, the product that we're putting out is messed up, is deformed. There's ink all over the shirts from being sloppy. And people are coming in going, this is not good. And I'm like, hey, if you don't like it, you know, that's how we do it now. I'm not messing with you, okay? And so I have lessened my quality. I have tried to hurry. I've tried to take shortcuts. And I'm giving out an inferior. And all of a sudden, Doc notices in about 6 months that, hey, you know what? We're not making nearly as much as we used to make. And he goes, hey, when was the last order that you had? It's been a couple of weeks ago. I don't know why people aren't coming to us. We were doing so good. I was putting out more shirts than ever before. Now, what happened is Doc's not. I'm messing with excellence. I'm messing with doing the job right. And it's affecting him. And I, because of that, am putting pressure on him to just deal with me every day. I just got to deal with him. Maybe if we took more time, but if we took more time, we wouldn't get. We're able to push more things through quicker, and so we're making more money in a shorter amount of time. Oh God, yeah, but they're leaving because the excellence is low. I'm putting pressure on him to have to say, "I love you, brother. Amen." Without having to deal with it. Are you with me? Are you seeing this? That excellence begins the friction between the parties. When a pastor, now again, when a pastor does not spend the time in the Word that he needs to spend, and so his sermons become nothing more than warm oatmeal, just yuck. I know some of you like oatmeal, so you're like, that sounds delicious. If it becomes nothing more than just a process, just words, just a sermon, just a half hour of I got to put up with it and stuff like that. When he does that, he is forcing you all to force yourself to come and hear what he has to say. He's like, you guys are all, messed up and sinners, because, you know, and it's because he's not putting the time in. He's not giving you the words of life. He's giving you words. You follow me? Lack of excellence puts pressure on the relationship. And it causes a deterioration in that relationship. When God started showing me this, it got my attention, because I preached on excellence. I've seen excellence before, but I've never seen it in this light of covenant relationships. See, God has called us to the ministry of excellence and not the ministry of the best. I'll give it my best college try. I'm going to make sure I say it, because some people say, well, I'm trying the best I can. Well, while you're doing the best you can, work towards excellence. See, I could go home every day from printing those t-shirts up and be sweaty, and Jesse go, how can you get so sweaty? Which she doesn't ask any longer about me, how I can get so sweaty. Amen. Sometimes the sweatiest I get is getting ready in the morning, getting out of the hot shower and then not cooling off in time. How can you get so sweaty making t-shirts? I've been working hard, but not excellent. Not just, I'll give it a good old college try. No. That's not going to cut it. Beloved, no matter what you're called to do inside of a covenant relationship and dealing with the church, whether it be the fivefold ministry offices, whether it be the ministry of helps, whether you are called to be a paymaster, whether we're talking about your job, whether we're talking about you and your family, your wife, your spouse, your children, whether we're talking about your neighborhood, beloved, God has called you to be a person of excellence. You are called in your life to pursue, to go after, and operate in the area of excellence. Well, excellence. What does excellence mean? Well, here's your definition that should not count, but I guess it does. It's the state of excelling at anything. You know, I know, I guess it's like at least not excellence means that you're excellent. Excellence is you're excelling at whatever you're doing. You're going, the root of excellence that obviously is excel, which means to rise to the highest place or to pass in accomplishments or achievements to be distinguishable by superiority. So in other words, I'm not just doing the best I can do. All right, let's. There's pastors who are who don't want to use anybody else. I trust that everybody in this room knows that's not me. I love the beauty of us doing this. I thank God. God told me. He said, keep leading worship on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays until I tell you not to. And I was so happy. Dance for joy when Steve and I was like, he's like, yeah. And I was like, woo. But there's pastors who want to do everything themselves, and they're not qualified to do everything themselves. Amen. And so they might be leading in worship and they can't carry a tune. They might play the piano and they don't really know how. I can play the piano. I'm the one that puts all the music and puts all the chords on top of the music. And I don't know, it seems like maybe Beulah's walked in on me a couple of times when I'm up here pounding on it going, burr, burr, burr. I can play the piano. If you want me to play it here in church, probably not going to happen. That's why I prayed for a wife that can play the piano. But when there's pastors who try to do everything themselves, refuse to allow other people to do it, even though other people are more qualified. And so the outcome of what they are producing is bad. is not. I was reading a thing the other day on areas of churches and churches that are mediocre, and one of the things was is that you don't ask for help when you need help. And I think, why is that? Why is that a mediocre church? It's because it's a church that doesn't have excellence. There's not excellence of covenant relationships in there. I can teach. I can sing. I think I do a solid job at it. God's blessed me in those areas. But I recognize that there are areas that I need help on. And I noticed that my computer was starting to slow down, and a new hard drive would make it last a lot longer. And so I could have opened it up. I could have started pulling wires and figuring out how everything went together. And I would have spent hours and wasted my time and maybe not have gotten it right. But I said, hey, Ryan, come here, help me. There are things when we changed, we updated the Bible program. I love that this Bible program that we have is free of charge. You probably need to do an offering on there at some point. Go back into the thing and give them an offering. It's free of charge. They've done everything and provided it as long as it's used for the glory of God and not for profit per se. They said use it free. And so it's been an awesome thing. But when we first downloaded this new version that has all the new Bible things on it, which is awesome to have, it was sideways. Or was it upside down, Taylor? I think it was sideways, wasn't it? And I could not manipulate it to figure out how to get it right. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, well, folks, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to look at it sideways. And I didn't know what to do. And Taylor came in. I said, Taylor, what do we do? Do you know what's going on here? And he's playing. He's doing the same things I was doing with it. And he's like, I don't know. And I think it was the next time he came in, I came walking in, or maybe it was later that service. I forget which one it was, but I came in there and he had it spun. I said, all right, how'd you do that? And there was just a certain manipulation that he was able to do that he knew that I didn't. See, that's what I'm talking about when we're talking about covenant. You know, if you're a spouse and your wife has a financing degree, it's foolish for you to stay in control of the finances. No matter how much you like control, you are not operating in excellence. I get tickled. We went to a church. There was a church in Flemingsburg that loved the ministry of my dad and a couple other pastors under Grace. And they invited my dad over there. And so my dad said, hey, would you want to go over with me so I can introduce them? So I went over there and we sat down and their worship service. Now, several of you would be familiar with these kind from around these parts. Their worship service was like, okay, now it's time to worship. And the pastor would go sit down and whoever had a song got to come up and sing a song. And whether they could sing or not. There was many of them that would come up there and couldn't carry a tune. If you gave them a flatbed, full of instruments, they couldn't carry a tune. And they'd be up there singing. And I know, so, oh, it's a joyful noise. But it is a joyful noise. Because they were happy and they were the only ones that were happy. But none of that is conducive to entering in to the intimacy of worship. The people that were being touched the most were the people up here singing. And that one was funny because they kept wanting to have introduce, and finally one of our pastors went over there and said, Have you been over to Pastor Thad's church in Moorhead? And they go, no, we haven't seen him since he was over here. Have you asked him to come over and preach for you? No, we haven't. Then this is the last time anybody from Grace Ministries has come to your church. Because we ain't going to keep just giving out to you if you're not eager about building yourself up. So anyway, They haven't heard anything more from them. But again, that's not excellence. And I know some people are like, well, but Pastor, their hearts were right. Listen, your hearts can be right sitting out there. Your hearts can be right in the privacy of your own home. Your hearts can be right in a lot of places. But beloved, when it comes to what we do with one another, if you're not flowing in excellence, if you're not pressing towards excellence, that's one of the reasons with myself that I like to watch different musicians every now and then. When I feel like maybe I'm getting a little bit flat and getting a little bit in my worship where I'm not pressing in, I'll go turn on some different worship leaders that inspire me, that I'm like, oh, I gotta have that passion when I lead. It stirs me up. It stirs up that passion that's in me. And it presses me towards excellence, not just enough to get by, not just given the best that I have. Excellence in the kingdom of God means to bring glory to God. Let's look at some scriptures here, now that it's 10 till. John 17. Hallelujah. This is a massive, and it's something that we've never talked about in these things before, in these connections before. So it's something that it's big. It's big. When you're walking in excellence, it means it stands above the rest. It doesn't mean necessarily per se that you've got a top 40 voice, but it means you carry a tune and you lead people in. You are a worshiper. Amen. Because some people, well, I don't have the best voice. I know I can. Work on your voice. I was noticing. There's a couple things I'm going to do, because I was noticing. My dad kind of quit singing a lot. This was about probably when he was my age, because he didn't like wearing out his voice. Well, God hasn't given me that choice. I still shout and I still scream and I still, you know, I'll growl a little bit when I sing. He hadn't given me that choice. So I know he's got my voice. My voice is strong for a long time. But I say that because some people are like, well, my voice isn't the perfect voice. Well, the Lord told me a couple weeks ago, last week it was, where I started singing, I just felt like I was pushing a little bit and just trying to get things going. And he said, work on training your voice a little bit more. Now again, I can carry a tune. I've had music. I've had voice lessons. I can carry a tune. I've sang in choir, singing that. But he was saying, just work on the strength of your voice. Work on controlling your voice a little bit more during the weeks. Don't just wait. You know, like, okay, all right, I get it. Matter of fact, we're going to look at it. We probably won't get there today. But one of the enemies to excellence is refusal to learn. And we'll talk about that. In other words, I know it all. And how many... I'll put Steve on the spot here. How many years ago did you have all the chords memorized on a guitar? 20? 15? 25? Okay, 17 years ago. Have you learned anything new over the last year? All right. But you could have stood up here based on 16 years ago, 17 years ago, learning all the chords and played your guitar up here. Right? See, so what I'm saying is that in this, how many have you ever heard him all of a sudden do something different up here, and you're going, oh, I like that. He did that. It's new. Now, again, I like picking on Steve because he just, I don't think he likes it when he's picked on. But the picture that I want you to get there is that he would have been good strumming. But, he continued to increase and continue to improve. Even he just said in the last year, I'm guessing the last month, he's probably worked on some things and gotten some things because he's increasing. Excellence plus learning continues in excellence. Amen. Let's get some scriptures here. John 17, verse 1. It says, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Jump down to verse 4. He said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work with that which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before the world's with thee before the world was. Before the world was. World was. All right, so the what pushed Jesus? What made Jesus tick? I got to glorify the Father with my life. I've got to let the Father be seen in me. Go to Matthew 5. He said, I got to, if people are going to look at me, I want them to see the Father, and I want the Father to get credit. I don't know if this happens much anymore, but man, when I was a young person, it seemed like it happened all the time. That guys would get up there and they'd have their electric guitar and they'd be up in front of the church and they'd like, yeah, I'm going to sing a song this morning that God gave me this week, and I just been singing it all week, and I just want to sing it for y'all. And they'd go, Jesus, I love you, and you're so good to me. And then they get done with it, and everybody's going, what was that? Yeah, you just don't get my music, man. God gave me that song. Man, don't blame that on God. That was rough. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine. And that gave me the picture of the diamond. And that, let that light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We are to radiate and reflect the love of God, the picture, the image, the glory of God off of our lives. Now again, here's you ready for this? Take that diamond. That diamond that has all those cuts, those intricate cuts. It's as those cuts are cut and put in place that it radiates, that it reflects, that it shines, that its brilliance is shown. A diamond in the rough, a diamond that has not been cut, it may have good qualities in it, but it's not going to sparkle, it's not going to shine. Are you catching this puppy? Are you catching? This is exciting me. This is making me. It's because as we allow ourselves to be cut in covenant and intricate cuts in covenant and these little areas working, whether it be on integrity, faithfulness, or whatever that we're working on, these little, as we continue to allow those things to get cut, we will shine brighter and brighter, and our ability to walk in the excellence and for the glory of God will shine so people can see us. The reason most Christians don't shine is because of this horizontal thing going on here. They got bitterness. They got resentment. They got discord with people, with the body of Christ, with people in the body of Christ, with people outside the body of Christ. God said, oh, no man anything but love. You don't get the privilege of discourse with those outside the body of believers. We get this going. We get this operating. We keep chiseling off those things that we know are hurting covenant, are putting that extra pressure on covenant. We keep working in those areas. And when the sun shines on us, it radiates, it glistens, and the diamond appears in all its beauty. A cut above the rest. Colossians 3. Hallelujah. I got so much I want to share with you this morning, and I'm going to be out of time. I share a couple more scriptures. The Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed," it's whatever. "Do it all." Say all. All. "Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and Father. Let him be glorified in what you do." Jump down to verse 23. "And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men." You know, that word heartily, I did a little bit of research on it. Because what does heartily mean? It's actually two Greek words that means from soul, from your thoughts, which means simply to put all your effort, all everything that you possess to get a job done, you put it all into it. You're not giving part effort. You're not giving half effort. You're not giving some of it. You're giving all you have to the work. So he says, whatever you do, do it with all you got. Shine, baby, shine. Radiate the glory of God in whatever you do. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read this strictly out of the Amplified, just for time's sake. And maybe the last thing, but next week, we're going to start off and we're going to talk about the enemies. And as of right now, I've got two, and then there may be some more sneak there. But I think one of them is probably the main enemy to excellence. The other one is an enemy also. But give me another week. Maybe the Holy Spirit will add another one on there. But let's at least get this one done. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, out of the Amplified version. It says, "Now as you abound and excel and are at the front in everything." I like that. That pretty much tells us that we're not trying just to get by. What kind of worship leader do you want to be, Pastor Thad? Well, you know what? I just want to hold things together until God raises someone up in the church. You know, I asked the Lord that once. I said, "Lord, why have we been blessed so greatly with our worship team? Our worship team is extraordinary." And I said, "Lord, why have we been blessed to that level? I know pastors who are good pastors and are in bigger churches and are forced to use CDs. Nothing wrong with CDs, but are forced to because they have no musicians in their church. And I know other churches who are bigger than us who maybe just have that one musician." I said, "Lord, why?" And he said, basically, it's because you have done what you do. And you've never been panic over it. You've never stressed over it. You've done what you did. Can I say, like, whatever state you're in, be there content? And Jesse and I would sit there with Dr. Rhythm and her and I, and we would just have fun. Did we want more? Sure. But, I mean, we were, there's a few of you in this place that remember Dr. Rhythm and Jessica and I. We just have a good time. I'd sit there with Dr. Rhythm and do so many fills that it was kind of like, yeah, I just had a blast with Dr. Rhythm. and then the Lord brought Steve in, and it was Steve, Jessica, and Dr. Rhythm. I tried to behave myself, I think, more with Steve because he was like an actual musician. Jessica was just my wife. So I tried to behave myself a little bit more with him. And I was always terrified because Dr. Rhythm, I could say, okay, you're going 115 beats a minute. And I was always kind of terrified that if a drummer came in, I wouldn't be able to go, okay, drummer, 115 beats a minute. You know, I didn't know how that was going to work. And all of a sudden, John McGuire comes and brings his drum set. Just showed up to church. No, he didn't show up to church. He comes, brings his drum set. We get it set up, and I'm going, Lord, I don't know how to do this. And I'm like, You know, and he just jumps right in. And I'm like, oh, man, this is awesome. And Dr. Rhythm, I don't know where Dr. Rhythm is today. I think he's in one of the cases in the back. I pulled him out one time just to have fun with him. I found his direction manual a couple days ago. But and then the story with Todd and him picking up the bass and just and God said, you are never in a hurry. You never stressed over it. You know, you're always content in the place that you're at, but you always were believing for more. How long did John and Steve say, we need a bass guitarist? Wait a minute. And my answer was like, well, we'll get one. We're good right here. But what about a bass guitar? What would a bass guitar do? Like, bass guitar would be great, but here we are. We're having fun like we are. That'd be my answer. And, but see, it says, as you excel, and are at the front of everything. Beloved, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, if your job is cleaning the commodes of the church, treat it, in your mind, treat it like there's a contest. And that any day, your commodes are going to come and be examined by the contest board, and you want to win first place. And because you wanted the newspapers, Grace Fellowship of Moorhead has the cleanest commodes in all the city. If your job is the flowers, she's not in here, I'm not poking. If your job's the flowers, you treat it like, I want Grace Fellowship to have the most beautiful flowers in the city. I don't want Angie's buds to beat my flowers. I don't want what they do. I am not going to let some business outperform me in my flowers. If your job is teaching kids, treat everyone like you're teaching the president's kid. That the president's kid came here and you wanted him to give a good word to dad for you. Because it is a king's kid, so just... Are you with me here? You seeing that? Excellence. Whatever you do, excel. Be at the front of everything. And then it goes, in faith, in expressing yourself, in knowledge, in zeal, in your love for us, whatever you do, excel, abound. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. So when it comes, see, we're one body here. We're one body. Our effectiveness comes because we're one. Friday, as I closed up here, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I had to leave about 6:30 to take Jessica to work. She had to be there. So I prayed that I would stay just a little bit longer to close things down. And so when I was wrapping it up, I just got up and I was just kind of turning stuff off and getting stuff ready. And just this absolute love for this body of believers just came over me. And I think coming home with Jessica that night, maybe it was on the way to take you to work. I said, man, there's something happened just in the love for one another. This week, there's something happened. And maybe it just happened in me. Maybe I just fell in love with you all over again or something like that. But I just felt like the love that was operating, was going in between us and this body of believers, just went up this week. I said, we might need to do this again soon because we need to keep building on that thing. I know some of you get nervous. It was easy. It was easy. Bring your kids. They'll sleep. Many of you did, so... No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Let's stand together. But I just felt that oneness just began growing in this place. And I was like, okay, this is just fantastic. This is just beautiful. But again, we have to make sure individually that as we continue to operate in this thing, that we pay attention to the details, that we excel and are at the front of everything. I love the way that's worded, of everything. What are you doing today? What's your job here today? What when you walk through those doors, what was the one thing that you were responsible for today at this place? Did you excel at it? Can I throw this out here? Because this was something, and this is just, I need to actually wrapping it up by faith. I'm going to ask something. I have an iPad. Jessica has an iPad. And I think that what I would like to do, now listen to what I'm saying, okay? What I would like to do is I would like to replace these beasts. I have one in my office. Jessica doesn't have the beast. She just has the gizzards of the beast, these beasts, with one of these. And all I need to do, all I would need to do, I've already been starting to save, scan in and save music as PDFs and things into my computer. So all I would need to do in order to do this is just create a PDF for each of our musicians, and all they would do is open it up and perhaps download an email or something like that. They have programs like this that we could look into, but download an email, open it up, and they would have their music right there. And all they would have to do is slide from PDF to PDF and play their songs right there. Now again, we have two of them. We'd need four of them. We need four of them, one for Todd and one for Steve. My question is this. I'm not asking anybody to pay for it as of now because I believe God will supply it. But perhaps there's some of you out there who have bought an iPad in the past. It doesn't have to have 652 gigabytes on it. It could have 6, could have 8 gigabytes on it. So it doesn't have to have that much. It just needs to be something that would have a screen on it. But I was praying about it, and I asked Pastor David, I said, what did you guys do? And he said, well, we just asked people if they have one that they're just not using. They've just kind of gotten it, and it's been sitting on their shelf, and they're just not using, if they'd want to donate it to the church. So I'm just going to throw that out there to you, that I believe that's something that we could move into, everybody would have it right there. It would be real easy. It'd just be my job to do it on that. We'd save a few trees maybe in the process of paper. If you have one, if you just have an extra one, I'm not, unless you feel directed to give me yours. I know there's different ways to operate. I'm just asking if you have an extra one or have one that you're just not using and you want to donate it to the church, feel free to do that. It would be something that we could actually put into motion and just and get it taken care of. And I think it would be something that would be really cool for all of us to where we'd have it. Amen. So anyway. Hallelujah. That's my point behind that is, the reason that whole came up to my mind was solely because I want to keep doing things the best I can. That's why I want to update things, and that's why I want to, I've already figured out, we need something there, and when we get that centered, we'll need something there, and I've already got a plan. I've already got figured out what's going to be there. We're going to put a big picture of a tiger. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to do a fat head of Kentucky Wildcats. Okay, I'm just kidding on that one. I got what's going up there. We're moving. We're getting bigger. We're doing things. We're preparing for the harvest. Amen. 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 Amen.